I don't think, it's like we just said, we only have a partial understanding.
Did you turn it off? She did.
And he's bringing us to more full understanding, so that, this diagram that I have drawn is our identity as it changes. And if we can't see scripture or what God is showing us inwardly as an ever-changing picture, you know, the puzzle pieces are beginning to fall into place. We don't have the whole, he can see the whole puzzle, but we don't. It's not all visible to us. So they're beginning to fall into place. Like, okay, there's that puzzle piece I was looking for, and we snap it into place. Sometimes we found it's the wrong place, but as we go, that we
don't fit.
He's opening our eyes. And I actually think of that song that Carolyn and Rokas wrote. Remember, they wrote, "There are worlds beyond this world. I live in all of them. There are thoughts so much greater. I was conceived of them. And there are knowings beyond all human understanding. I am spirit. I am life. I come from my Father." And really, to me, that song is so profound, because what it does is expresses the progress of our love towards Christ and back into Him. You know, our eyes are being opened as we pass through these veils. That really is the picture, the tabernacle, the diagram that I have here. This is the tabernacle. I don't know, we don't have a picture of the tabernacle up here right
not
now.
Here.
But it's over here. And the tabernacle, this square was supposed to represent the tabernacle, and the outer court, the body, the holiest place, and the whole is the soul, and the holiest of all is the spirit. That's in the tabernacle. That's also in us. So this also, the circle represents our identity, our face, superimposed over the tabernacle. So he's removing veils. Remember in the book of Revelation, where the one that sat on the throne had a book in his right hand, and the question was asked by an angel, who can open this book? And there was no one in heaven or on earth that could open that book, and he wept. And then the Lamb, the Lion of God, stepped forward as a lamb who was slain. He appeared as a lamb who was slain, meaning he had gone through this process that we're going through, and he was worthy to open that book. And he began opening seals. So that book, the book that he was holding in the book of life, the seals are being opened. These are these seals. Seals are being opened to reveal the true identity of who you are. And so that we can see more clearly as we're brought up higher and higher and changed from glory to glory. And that song also tells me that I don't live in just this world, this terra firma, this terrestrial place. I live in all of the worlds. You know, scientists say that there are parallel universes. They believe that there are parallel universes to this universe. And it just is, you just cannot conceive, the mind cannot conceive. Well, the mind can't even conceive this universe, this expanding universe, let alone parallel universes. You know, that just, you just can't even imagine. But I am not talking about multiple worlds with multiple universes here. And, you know, we may have that someday, that we will have that understanding of that. And what I am talking about here is worlds revolving around this world within us. That we have a heavenly body within us, and it's evolving deep within our deep, and it's lifting us up from the earthy to the heavenly. That's what this diagram, this temple face, is attempting to do, is to lift your understanding, your mind, into what you can be, your identity. So no natural mind can imagine that. You know, these are parallel worlds working within us, wheels within wheels, and they're revolving as quickened life within us. Remember in Ezekiel's vision of Ezekiel 1, and he was by the river, and he saw the heavens open, and he saw a great whirlwind come from the north, and there was a great fire come out of that. It was a fire unfolding within itself. And out of the midst of the fire, he saw four creatures. And each of them had four faces. And when they were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted too. And it says that the spirit of a living creature was in the wheels. Well, using wheels is far easier than dragging our own body about. You know, wheels help reduce friction as they dig into the earth and then they rotate. So they help reduce friction. Think of a cart. That wheels on the cart keeps you from dragging across the dust of the earth. So what wheels do is it creates a movement that lifts one above the dust of the earth. Now here in this chapter of Ezekiel 1, the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels.
Yes.
Now, they had wings, okay, but they were not carried by their wings. They were carried by the wheels. The movement carried them up above the earth through the action of the wheels, because the spirit was in the wheels. The spirit was not in their wings or in themselves. Their wings were joined. And they were ready, for their wings were stretched upward. And they had, however, there's one distinction here that's very important. They had hands underneath their wings, okay? So they were not yet flying. For under the firmament, it says in verse 23 of Ezekiel 1, their wings were straight. So they were not lifted up by their wings, but by the spirit within the wheels. These were cherubim. These were living creatures called cherubim. But it was given unto the seraphim, when we find there's some seraphim mentioned in Isaiah 6, and then we get to the seraphim in Revelation 4. The seraphim are actually the fiery burning ones. And it describes them as being above the firmament and before the throne. There's that difference. And it was given to the seraphim wings that would enable them to fly. They had six wings rather than four. So they had the extra two wings to fly. And remember that the woman that was clothed with the sun in Revelation 12, she was given two wings of a great eagle to fly into the wilderness where she was nourished for time and half a time. Actually, 42 generations she was nourished, speaks of. If you study it out in Revelation, that's what that means. That's 42 generations. That's another thing.
Jubilee.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into the seraphim today, but there were. I like to talk about that more in detail some other time. But there were distinct differences between the cherubim that were under the firmament, who appeared out of the midst of the fire of Ezekiel 1, and the seraphims, who are directly around the fiery throne. But they were both quickened. They both had eyes round about. So as to see eyes, they had eyes all about them. And it's actually these eyes all about them. These are eyes. That's why they're in circles too. Your spirit, soul, and body are eyes. But these eyes, well, right now he's separating us. You know, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow part of our body. So he has separated. He has begun the process of separating us when we come to him. But then he's going to join us back together again as we take a good look at what he's trying to show us. He's opening our eyes to see. So they will have this one eye eventually. We will have that one eye, because the one eye serves as the lamp of the body, as you know. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light.
This goes back to Reuben, the first son. Means to see the sun in yourself. It's a completely different kind of seeing, which has to do with the leader of the desires and his
This
work.
Is Reuben here on the on the south.
That was so crooked, so this really ties in with past and present teaching, because it has to do with the eighth house of regeneration. I desire, which is Scorpio, and in the final order there is no Scorpio, because it's completely reduced, like your teaching. It becomes a seraphim.
Yeah.
No will or desire of its own.
Yes. Yes. Well, I thought it was interesting that seraphim literally means a head whose mouth speaks a fiery word that consumes the flesh. Now that's interesting. This is your head too. A head that's looking for a body, as you said.
Yes.
So this is a head whose mouth speaks a fiery word that consumes the flesh. So we have to get to that place where, you know, our mouth is a fiery sword. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So out of the mouth comes that sword. But it's not to destroy the other or to put down the other. It's to work that work within us that consumes the flesh. This mouth is an action for ourselves. Okay?
Well, there's an old story about we'll call it an Elohim, since we're kind of talking about that. He was a divinity in Ethiopia, and he was considered sort of a someone that was there to cause discord. What he would do, for instance, is he would go to a village, and he had a hat, and according to the cardinal points, he would set himself up where he could be viewed from the four different cardinal points by four different individuals. Well, what the north guy saw was that the hat was red, and what the east guy saw was that the hat was white. What the south guy saw, the hat was green, and this other guy over here in the west saw the hat as black. So he disappears, and the four farmers come together. Well, they start talking about what they saw, and pretty soon it comes to blows, because they all saw something different. They get drugged in front of the village elders, and, you know, the village elders are pulling their hair out trying to figure out who's right and who's wrong. Well, the divinity appears and tells them, you know, I delight in doing this because I'm waiting for a time when a man's compassion outweighs his desire to be right.
And also the story of the four races, son.
Yeah.
Has to do with it. four races of men, colors of men.
Well, yeah, that's what that reminded me. These different races, they don't look like us, so we don't really, there's a part of us that doesn't accept. They don't talk like us, they don't act like us, they don't dance like us, you know. So we're right and they're wrong, right? So anyway, this seraphim speaks that fiery word, and it's not words of vanity or great swelling words of knowledge, but it's a fiery word, the word that has come alive, his word, which is him within us. And you know that one eye being full of light causes us to be fully alive. And you know, think of that song, I'm fully alive in thy presence, Lord. Make me fully alive. So to be fully alive is to be lacking nothing at all. When you know who you truly are, you find you realize no lack. So when the prodigal son returned to his father because he realized his lack. So when we realize our lack, we return to our father. Because we know that his life revolves within us. You know, this is what makes us utterly complete, especially if we have experienced it before. And we have left, as the prodigal son had experienced the presence of the Father, and then he left that. So we have an image of the earthy within us. We also have an image of the heavenly. That we might know who we truly are, we have to experience the image of the earthy first, before we can move on and experience the image of the heavenly. You know, his deep calls unto our deep to experience that, to have a deep heart response within us. You know, we live in eternity, which has no time or space. And really what this picture of the tabernacle with our temple face superimposed over is actually timeless. You know, time and space have to do with setting boundaries or setting limits. You know, he didn't set limits or set boundaries until day four. That's when he created the sun, moon, and stars. That's when limits began to be set on this earthly realm. You know, that the sun, moon, and stars have to do with days and with signs and seasons and days and years. That's limiting on this earthly realm, time itself. You know, the sun rises and sets every 24 hours. So there's a beginning and there's an end every day. And outer space too, from our human perspective, is limiting, though we can't imagine that there would ever be an end to it because it keeps expanding, but there is a limit someplace, some point. But eternity really itself, that concept of eternity, has no beginning and no end. So we understand our spiritual eternity through the revolving of the natural heavens above us. You know, the first man, Adam, was formed of the dust of the earth. So he's a picture of the natural seed. And really, this tabernacle, the square of the tabernacle, is a picture of the first man, Adam. It's the image of the earthy. That tabernacle is just an image of the earthy. A seed produces after its own kind. It can do nothing else. So all that produced was law. All that came out of that was law. For within the seed contains the pattern of the DNA. Adam was a product of the earth. He was terrestrial. And as such, he's perishable. This tabernacle will pass away. Didn't he say that? It's passing away in us. It's finite and it's limited.
That's dissolving, passing away,
dissolving within us. That's a tabernacle we have within us. Those squared corners of the law, we carry that within us as the first Adam.
He shaves them off with a sword.
Yeah.
Bit by bit.
But God gives a body, think of that as a body too, as it pleases him. And every seed has its own body. And that is our hope. Because really in 1 Corinthians 15 describes best what I'm trying to bring out. That all flesh is not the same flesh. Right here. Think again, the square of the tabernacle, the circle of your spiritual identity, who you are. Your true temple face. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men and another flesh of beasts. This is in verse 39, 1 Corinthians 15. Another of fishes and another of birds, and there are also terrestrial. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. This square of the tabernacle is your terrestrial body. And the circle of your identity, of the Christ within you, is your celestial body. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's a glory in that first tabernacle of Moses. It had its own glory, okay? But remember that Moses had to cover his face when he went out to see the people. So there's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, that is that square of the tabernacle, the natural body, Adam. Is raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. The tabernacle was natural. First the natural, then the spiritual. Christ in us, the hope of glory. First man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are also earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we have borne the image of the earthy, that first tabernacle, law, knowledge of good and evil, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So he has a plan for us, that we had to go through the law first to get there. The image of the earthy. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And not to be redundant, that's just flesh and blood, that first tabernacle. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Boy, that one really I struggled with for many, many years. And it just until I really started studying this out that I feel like I have a bit more understanding. We shall not all sleep. In other words, there are some who are going to realize this identity, this new the living cherubims that become the seraphims, the living creatures within us that are evolving and get those two extra wings to fly like a flying eagle. This is a flying eagle actually here. Dan becomes a flying eagle, from the serpent to the flying eagle. That is what we are becoming. And there are those here that will not have to sleep to attain that understanding.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm saying.
That's truth.
They will not have to pass by way of the grave to reach that understanding. I don't know what happens by way of the grave, but there are worlds, there are ages beyond this age. And I believe that all men will come to that understanding. I have to believe that, but I think he has a plan for all men, not just some.
Well, actually, I don't like to interrupt you, but Dan will not even be in that picture.
He's not in there as a serpent, I think.
No, it becomes Levi's place, and Dan is completely obliterated.
Yes. As a serpent, he's not, because serpent eats of the dust, but as a flying eagle, he does become. But it says here, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, so that's what that is. We talked about that earlier. Well, is it really a moment, a twinkling of an eye? No, not really. It happened as a process of understanding.
Absolutely.
Bring us to that. But at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. We as a body, we shall all be changed. I don't think one can come in as a body and be changed without the rest of the body. He said that Christ was looking for a place to lay his head. He was looking for a body. That doesn't mean one person.
Amen.
You know, the key here, really, in going back to verse 38, is that every seed has its own body. And that flesh and blood, which is the natural seed of Adam, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And that as we have borne the image of the earthy, that first tabernacle, that first Adam, that came out of the first Adam, that had to lay the law down first, we are going to bear the image of the heaven, that tabernacle, and all that stood for is passing away. And that this is your quickening spirit, life-giving spirit. There's a big difference between living soul of the first man, Adam, and the quickening spirit of the last man, Christ. The living soul of the New Testament Greek has been translated from the Greek word psuche, and exactly corresponds according to to the Hebrew word nephesh in the Old Testament. So our soul is the very essence of our life and makes reference to our mind, our will, our emotions and desires, which are all a part of what is around the tabernacle and the identity of who that you are, your mind, your will, your emotions and desires here. But your spirit has a mind, will, and emotions and desires, and so does your body have a mind, a will, and emotions and desires. So this is all concept revolving as wheels within us. And going back to the living soul, remember, if you look at Genesis 2 and 7, it says that God breathed into the first man's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So a man was just made into a form from the dust of the earth, much like taking clay and forming it into an object. And then that object was breathed upon and became a living soul. So it's like he was baked, so to speak, by the breath of God and stopped there as a living soul, okay? You see, if clay being made into an object and then baked, clay always has to go into the oven and bake a while. Isn't it often talked about in Scripture how we go through this fiery process. So that's like that clay was baked in the oven and left there as a form. It became a form, stood up as a form, but nothing more. He had received the essence of Suke life. And light, but you know, God is light, but it's just like, much like a dark object receives the light of the sun. That's it. Its form does not change because of it. It's not quickened in that place. It only is what it is, remains what it is.
He just chose soul life as God breathed into his nose. He chose to live the lesser. Not the upper soul, the spirit.
Well, the only way that object is going to remain dark until light actually penetrates and changes its form in some way. I mean, if you put a light under a bushel, its form is hidden, isn't it?
Yes.
But if you bring that light out, then others can see it. That changes that in some way. So God breathed into his nostrils, and he was formed of the dust of the earth.
Yes.
Just formed, the form of man.
That clay is beautiful because that goes back to the potter's house. I went down to the potter's house. It's beautiful. The scripture talks about that.
So this really is just a passive condition. It's really what it is. I mean, that's why the soul is often equated with the moon in scripture. You know. And remember, the woman clothed with the sun had the moon under her feet.
Yes.
So the moon can only give off the reflected light of the sun. It has no light of its own. So the buck stops there with that living soul, Adam's living soul. And he bore the image of the earthy. That's all, nothing more. And you know, the scripture said the man cleaved to his wife and they became one. Spirit? No. They became one flesh.
Yes.
So, but the quickening spirit, or the living pneuma, verse 15, is an actual, active condition. It's the breath of life as having been revived and now can breathe on its own. It's been breathed upon as a living soul, and now revived as a quickening spirit doing the breathing. It's giving life, not just receiving it. And it not only receives life from another source, but it's becoming the source, so that he and we are one. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will bear the image of the heavenly, which is that light, that life and that light has been quickened within us and has become alive. It can emit life. It can emit light as its own source, so to speak, because that light is within it. It's not reflecting it off of something else. There's no separation from source. Now, quickening spirit is like a wind. It's like a breath that's been revived from its first state, and the quality of its essence or form has been changed inordinately. In fact, wind affects form. I mean, in the natural, it's a quality of course. We know that it can change landscape through erosion, and we can even harvest energy from it. So his wind or his breath of his life changes our very form. So we can hear it, but we don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. Remember that song about the wind? We hear the sound of it. I mean, Jesus said that, didn't he?
Yes.
He equated that with that. He says, so is everyone that is born of spirit. You can hear it, but you don't know where it came from or where it's going. That's the quickened spirit. That is the cherubim that has become alive in him. And it's a mystery to the carnal mind. Really. What I'm talking about here is a mystery to the carnal mind. But to those who have actually experienced that quickening, there is no mystery. Time as we know it. There is no time as we know it when the mystery is finished. No time or space when the mystery, because we're living in the present. There's no time here. All that was before, all that was part of what was Adam, has passed away. All that has passed away. And the seals are being opened and are unveiled within us as we pass from one realm to another. And when all of those seals are broken, when all that passes before our eyes leaves, that which is dead in us is quickened and revived, metamorphosed, and resurrected. All of ours that she was talking about. Doing it again. The re in front of that is to do it again. So we have known this. We just had to pass on this earth to go back to it again, back to the heavenlies. We had to experience this earthly realm. We had to bear the image of the earthly in order to bear the image of the heavenly. So we become stood up again, as we talked about last week. He brought that out in resurrection. And we behold him face to face. For behold, every eye shall see him. Every eye. Every eye shall see him. That's the face unveiled. That's all of the seals broken. That's the glory of the celestial. And that is a body full of light. Right there. I said the lamp of the body is the eye. And if the eye is clear, the whole body is full of light. So I don't have cherubims on here, the four living creatures, but they're here. They're represented around the sides of the desires of Reuben and Judah's emotions and Dan's mind and Ephraim's will. They're all represented here, but they're all what is going on within us. We have this mind, will, emotions, and desires that he's... You can put cherubims coming out from the heavens, but the seraphims, as I was telling you about, the burning, fiery ones, that God is a consuming fire. He's bringing us to that place of fire where that fiery sword emits from us as our spirit, soul, and body become as one, and we become the Word. And we become the fire. That's what the seraphim are, the fiery ones. We can fly all around the throne, so to speak.
They're actually bursting the wheel, because it changes faces more than anything in us, our will. The four orders of the will are there in 1 John 2. The first time I heard that taught on, I didn't believe it. I said, I don't think he's in the book. So I called Gary and he explained to me. And it just opened like a new understanding completely, because that ox totally changes. He changes four times in the scripture.
Yes, he does.
Becomes that seraphim you're teaching on.
Yes.
So beautifully.
Yes. Well, there's a lot. The city lieth four square and came down from heaven. That's what John saw in Revelation. Came down from heaven like a bride prepared for her husband. So that is the bride of
yes.
Christ. If you can hear that.
The beauty to me that scripture is she's prepared. Makes me know she has lots to say about being the bride and preparing herself to be that bride for one husband, one God.
Right, because you don't just go into the wedding tent, yeah. you prepare yourself ahead of time. You don't just arrive yes. how you are. Yeah. You prepare yourself for that beautiful experience. So that is the living soul changed into quickening spirit. If you can hear that, that's a quickening spirit of the first living soul, and then becomes cherubim, and then becomes seraphim.
Yes. Graduating.
Ascending heights. Higher and higher mm-hmm. into the greater and greater glory, because there's a glory of the terrestrial, and there's a glory of the celestial. The, yes. the glory changes and gets greater, takes on a heavier weight, is what the glory does.
Beautiful.
You know, you can. The dust to the earth and all that is the wood, hay, and stubble could be burned up. But all that cannot, and that's really what that is, the fiery ones, all that could not be burned up, well, like gold. Gold only becomes more pure in the fire. So all that cannot be burned up is what's left. These are new heavens and a new earth. That's what when the city came down, it was a new heaven and a new earth. So that's the old heavens, that tabernacle over there, that's the old heavens and the old earth representing that. But this is the new heavens. This superimposed, this glorious being, living one, fiery one, has been changed to a greater glory and bearing the image of the heavenly rather than the image of the earthly, which is what we're bearing now. We have to go through that process, though.
Really?
Thank you.
It was good.